Everything hurts.
Locked On Bama, your daily podcast on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back into Locked On Bama. Luke Robinson, that's me. Jimmy Stein, that's him. Jimmy, I hate basketball and all things associated with it. How do you feel?
I probably won't watch basketball today. I'm still trying to I might. It's tonight. I'm going to do some Alabama baseball today. So, that was tough. In the end, you had said something you said about – it's in your DNA a little bit when people are like, well, these guys, they've never been a part of Alabama's Sweet 16 disasters. They weren't even alive for that. Well, I think it's in your DNA to some extent. We're now 1-9 in Sweet 16 games. It's like a wall that Alabama's only been able to clear one time. And you can't help but think this, Luke. I think Nate Oates is going to get past the Sweet 16 at Alabama. I really do believe that. But it might not be with the number one overall seed. Nate's teams, the type of style he coaches, one year Alabama might sneak in the tournament as an 11 and then get hot, be a three-point shooting machine that doesn't miss all the way to the Elite Eight or even the Final Four, because that's the type of style that he coaches, and you have to be hot at the right time. And boy, that 3-point shooting was abysmal. We need to give San Diego State credit, because this is what they do. I mean, they're good at forcing teams into bad shooting nights because they're so good defensively. Sometimes it seemed to me, Luke, they had six guys on the court because it was hard to get an open shot at the perimeter, and all of the shots at the basket were contested. And just give them credit for that. We didn't do enough to overcome their really good defensive effort.
I had the same thought you did last night. Actually, I was flying into Phoenix. I'm in Phoenix. That's why I look a mess right now, because, like, our time difference is pretty significant right now. And but this is the only time I had to do the podcast. And I felt like we needed to do a reaction pod since I couldn't do one last night. But I had the thought, I was on the plane. So this is, I know some people hate it when I tell a story, but I'm getting on the plane and I look at my wife. I'm like, man, if we didn't have Wi-Fi on this plane, I'd be so mad. I can't, because we'd take a plane, fly to Houston, then fly to Phoenix. We get on the plane and they're like, yeah, everybody get comfortable. Now the Wi-Fi is down. I'm like, son of a, I had no idea what was happening, what the score was, anything. About 17 minutes ago in the second half, we finally start getting into range where I can pull it up on my phone. That was weird that your phone goes off. So as I mentioned, phone.
How about that?
Anyway, so and then we go on that 9-0 run, and I'm like, whew. And then they call a timeout, and I still can't watch the game at this point. All I'm seeing is Alabama dribble out of bounds, Alabama turnover, Alabama turnover, Alabama missed shot. And meanwhile, San Diego State, who's not a good shooting team, they start hitting things. And when they got up three, it felt like it might as well be 18. They were Tennessee plus yesterday. I don't think they're better than Tennessee overall. I think Tennessee's got better players. But Tennessee doesn't have anybody that can shoot. These guys at least can shoot at some point. They shot well last night, for them. And meanwhile, we go 3 of 27 from beyond the arc, which is criminally obscene. I don't even know how we did that, but I did have the thought, just like you, like while the game was right towards the end, I was like, we're going to break through one day, but it's not going to be as a one seed. That's just not good. That's not us. We got to break through. We're going to have to do something like, a UConn 7 or 8 seed that slides all the way to the Final Four. That's what we're going to have to do. Or a Michigan State like this year that, frankly, should have probably beaten Kansas State, but they didn't. And they could have made it at least to Elite Eight as a 7. I mean, we had the I'm not making any excuses. San Diego State beat us, so I want to be clear about that. But I'm trying to figure out the reasoning. Like, is it because of our youth? Is it because we're inexperienced? Is it because of Alabama's DNA? Is it because of Alabama's history? Is it because Louisville is cursed? I don't know. But I don't think the refs did anything yesterday that was bad. I mean, that I can tell. That, I mean, again, I didn't get to see it all. I didn't. I mean, yeah, they played a little rougher. But, see, I think that's part of being in the tournament is you do have to learn to play different styles in the tournament. That making it to the Final Four is not just are you a really good team. It's you got to have everything. You got to have luck. You got to have a good draw. You got to be hot at the right time. You got to play defense at the right time. You got to do all those things. And we just didn't do – several things good last night.
Yeah, I'm not using this as an excuse, but I can't help but think of this. It, you know, Brandon Miller was – you have to have your best player play well, and Brandon was really bad. I mean, that's – if we're going to say all season he was awesome when he was awesome, then we got to say he was bad when he was bad. And Brandon was really bad. I can't help but think it's the groin to an extent because I wouldn't even mention it. But we have to remember that just 2 games ago, which was just literally, what, 5-6 days ago, well, 1 week ago, he scored no points against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. No points. And now has a 3 of 19 or 3 of 20 shooting night. And since it's twice in 3 games, I do think some of the off-the-court stuff was wearing on him. I'm sure that's true. But I also know that he had a groin injury, and his own coach said before the game on the TBS broadcast, it was probably 80%. I think that had a significant impact on Brandon's game. And again, because it's 2 games, I bring it up. And I think it's weird or not weird. I think it might be the explanation for Brandon, or at least a big part of it. And part of it's San Diego State and their outstanding defense. Javon Quinterly was really bad. He didn't play well. That's just a fact. We didn't get significant contributions from enough people. I thought Noah Gurley played pretty good. He had to play extended minutes because Clowney had foul trouble, and Gurley did fairly well. A lot of them stepped up and made a play here and there. There was a point in time Alabama took control of the game and went up by 9, and it felt like, well, Alabama's figured it out, and they've had a good second half, and they're going to win this game. And right when Alabama went up by 9, complete collapse across the board, defensively, offensively, and again, just a horrible shooting night. So, hey, somebody asked me in some show somewhere, I can't even remember when now, about 2 weeks ago, somebody asked, okay, let's say Alabama loses earlier in this tournament than – you believe then everyone believes. If Alabama loses early, why did they lose early? And my answer to that was because they turned over the ball too many times and had a poor shooting night. And hey, these things have happened to this team all year long. That's why I had that answer, is because those things have haunted Alabama. And I think ultimately those two was what really buried Alabama last night. But, you know, you play an elite defensive team like San Diego State. What are they going to do? They're going to force turnovers and contest every – Alabama lost. Now it's just they'll wait till next year. We can't hear you probably because you're in Phoenix. Probably because you're in Phoenix. Who could hear – I mean, he's in Phoenix. How can we ever expect to hear him? We shouldn't have expected to hear him.
That is true. It's a long way. And I was muted. Dang it. Oh, I'm trying to get this off without a hitch and I can't do it. But regardless. All right. Let me tell everybody about FanDuel. The tournament is heating up. I mean, for some of y'all. And there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and say sign in today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the nets. all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Let's talk a little bit about some of the stars from last night, and not stars. I'm talking about stars in a general sense, not stars from last night. Again, I didn't get to see all the game because I was on a plane, but the last little bit I saw, and I've been doing nothing but singing JQ's praises. It looked to me like he played one of his worst games. And I don't know about the statistics side of it, although I'm pulling that up right this minute. Because I really hadn't been focusing on that. I've really been too down to even be worried about it. I mean, he ended up with 10 points more than Miller. He had 3 assists and 3 rebounds. Okay, that's not awful, but he was 4-13 from the field, 1-3 from beyond the arc, only 1-3 from the free throw line. That one miss certainly seemed to be big when it happened. The other thing he did on that 4-13 from the field, I bet you those other 9 shots were blocked. I mean, yeah. Every time he drove, and it's like he had it in his mind, I'm taking this to the basket. Now, I appreciate that. I appreciate a aggressive guard who's like, I'm getting to the basket. But you have to finish it. You have to at least get it off the backboard. Because when they block it, either straight up in the air or back towards you, they're going to get the ball. So, yeah, I mean, I saw at least 3 or 4 blocks in the little bit that I watched where he was trying to finesse his way to the rim. And that just wasn't going to happen against that bunch of guys. I mean, those dudes are dudes, and they like to block shots. They had a bunch of sort of Roy Rogers on steroids looking dudes in there. You know, like that's what they want to do is block your shot. This I can't do much else, but please drive in here and let me block your shot. And Javon Quinterly seemed to oblige.
Hey, we didn't seem to have a good night driving the paint and kicking it out. I mean, there weren't a lot of open looks, but you would think if you drove the paint and kicked it out, you would get some open looks. We didn't seem to have a good night doing that. It seemed that all the drives to the paint were just ending in contested and blocked shots that just didn't go in. And Alabama missed a ton of shots at the rim because of, again, San Diego State's defense. Sometimes it just felt like they had 6 guys on the court. Like, how can they defend the perimeter and the basket both so well? And they did. Very athletic, very physical. That style had given Alabama some issues in some games. It was reminiscent of the Tennessee loss in Knoxville, reminiscent of the Oklahoma loss in Norman, reminiscent of the Texas A&M loss in College Station, where Alabama just couldn't score because of physicality and couldn't make up for it outside the arc. And defensively, Alabama played pretty well for most of the game. Now, there was a collapse at the end. But most of the game, Alabama played really well defensively, particularly the first half. But, boy, when San Diego State could sense they could really beat Alabama, that's when they couldn't miss. They could not miss. Their confidence grew as soon as they looked up at the clock and like, hey, we really might do this. It felt like they didn't miss from that point forward. Just real unfortunate. But now let's see what happens with the roster. I'm excited about the potential of next year's team. Some things about next year's team really excites me. And I'm really looking forward to that, Luke. I think in terms of what we know, there's 3 decisions. One looks foregone. Let's see. The foregone thing seems to be Brandon Miller headed to the NBA. Who can blame him if he's going to be a top 5 pick? I get it. Good luck, Brandon, and thanks for your season of greatness, even if it was marred at the end. Now, JQ and Clowney, I think, are interesting. They could return. I won't be absolutely floored if that happens. My guess is Noah Clowney enters the NBA draft process without hiring an agent and sort of sees where his stock is with the NBA. And if he's a first round pick, he'll stay in the draft. And if he's not a first round pick, he'll come back. JQ's not an NBA prospect, in my opinion. I don't think he can play in the NBA. Hey, prove me wrong. If you prove me wrong, I'll buy your jersey. I'll be so excited for you. and so excited to have another alum in the NBA. So I hope, I'm just saying that my sports opinion is that JQ won't make an NBA roster, and his professional basketball will probably be overseas or in the G League. And for that reason, I do think JQ could come back. He would just be an older player at 25 years old. And a lot of 25-year-olds don't care to play college sports. Some do. So he might. And NIL makes a big difference. In the old days, I would tell you 100% chance he's not coming back. But now in NIL, maybe he might. And even though he played so poorly in the last game, I'd certainly welcome him back with that, those years of experience and his age and maturity. I would welcome him back with three open arms because he would be a big help. But I guess we see what happens.
Okay, stop. That's the creepiest thing you've said on this podcast ever.
Three open arms is gross. It is terrible. I said it. I was trying to do my usual exaggeration, but as I said,
you needed to either go with four or something long. Because when you say three,
that sounds like that. Yeah,
that's right. Like under Joe Biden rubbing Adam's family. Niece's shoulders, kind of thing.
It was the Adams family.
But anyway, not to get political, nobody get mad. Trump can massage your niece's shoulders too. I don't care. Anyway. No, I'm with you. And I would like to see JQ action. I mean, I know a lot of people right now, the visceral reaction is, hey, JQ, thanks for all you've done, but see you later. I'm not really that way. I'm willing to give this a little bit more time and say, hey, I'd be fine if he came back. I mean, because I still think he's a really good player. I still think that he can do better. And I don't think he wants to go out like this. So I think we can do a little better. Here's what bothers me, and I want to keep the last segment positive because I want to rehash what we've done this year, and I want to end it on a positive note and then wrap up basketball. We can be done with basketball after this next segment. And everybody has been asking me about, hey, y'all talk more football. Well, we're about to. We're about to talk a boatload of it. So from this podcast on, it's football. But this last segment's going to be positive. But what I want to say about this is what I hate about this exit is in the Sweet 16, is it seems to nullify in a lot of people's minds what we've accomplished this year. Now, we're going to go over what we accomplished in the next segment, so no need to do that right now. But what I'm saying is the reaction during social media immediately after the game and hours after was, you know, ha, 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 you know, you were the number one seed and as far as you can get. And I was like, yeah, but like being the number one seed's a good thing. And I hate that basketball has been boiled down to it's all about what you do in March and has nothing to do with anything else, because that's been the problem with college basketball is we need more importance on the, you know, winning a conference championship. That should be celebrated. Winning a conference tournament, if you have one, that should be celebrated. Anyway, that's just me. Maybe I'm nitpicking, but I even talked about this. It's not just about Alabama. I talked about this with Matt Painter and Purdue. I think the criticism of him is unjust, and I think that it's really sucky that he ran up on Fairleigh Dickinson. If he plays probably any other 16 seed, they win. It's just that particular game, Fairleigh Dickinson was on fire and playing their game and doing their thing, and Purdue just wasn't on their game. So anyway, let's go ahead and take another break. When we come back, I do want to talk about some positives. All right, Jimmy, so let's remind everybody. Were we picked number four or number five in the league coming into this season?
I would guess five.
Yeah.
I don't remember there being sky-high expectations. I mean, ranked around 20th in the nation type stuff, which is good. But
I think we've been ranked the entire year. If not, it's really close. Like, we're going to end up ranked in the top 10, maybe even in the top five at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. We won the SEC, we swept Auburn, we swept Vanderbilt, we swept Arkansas. These are teams we normally don't sweep. We swept we didn't sweep it. Did we go to LSU? We didn't go to LSU this year, did we?
I think we did. Yeah, I think
did we?
We might have. Let's just say we did. If we did, we would have won.
Well, we only played them once. If we only played them once, we still swept them. So
if we played them down there, we would have won.
Yeah. So we got the SEC Player of the Year and the SEC Freshman of the Year, two first-team All-SECers, one consensus All-American, National Freshman of the Year, made it to the Sweet 16, Yes, we're 1-9 in Sweet 16s. I don't like that either. I don't like it. But you got to keep getting to the Sweet 16 to make it beyond that. So let's also say this, that I think this Sweet 16 trip might have enough young dudes who can be there for the next couple of times. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and pretend like this program's in a place where we can expect to make Sweet 16 on a more consistent basis. And we have, you know, assuming that we don't have a lot of transfers, and that's a big assumption in this day and age, but you got the Rylan Griffins and the Bradleys and, you know, some of these other younger cats that, you know, maybe they'll know a little bit more about playing in a situation like this. Rylan Griffin, I think, fouled somebody when we cut it to 2, and we could have just played defense. I don't know why. Was that purposeful? What the heck was that about?
It looked purposeful, and I didn't like it either. I didn't think it was the right thing to do at all.
Do you think he forgot time and space there? Like, you know,
he is a freshman. That it does sound something like a freshman would do, and yeah. He is still a freshman. So I think that's possible. But, yeah, I thought it was a key moment in the game for sure. And I didn't like the decision, whether it was from the bench or Ryland's F decision, F minus.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But, again, and next year we're going to have another tough schedule. I don't know exactly who's all going to be on it yet. I have heard some potential rumblings of things I'm not comfortable throwing out there, but I think we're going to have another tough schedule. We're going to be right in the mix of things again. No, we're not going to have Brandon Miller. And that's – I hate that because you know, frankly, in a way, we didn't have Brandon Miller as much as we want him this year because all the – everything swirling around him kept us from enjoying it quite as much as we probably should have.
100% true. Yeah. 100% true.
And, you know, like you can't even really celebrate his 41-point performance against South Carolina all too terribly much because everybody loved to put, say, Brandon Miller and then comma, but blank, blank, blank. And right. – That's just a horrible way to remember him. He's better than that. He deserves better than that. But overall, incredibly positive year. I think things are on a positive trajectory. I don't think this program will take a step back. We've got a nice signing class coming in. Just not as good as this last class. It's just not. But that's okay because some of those dudes from that previous great class are still going to be here. They'll be more experienced. We probably will hit the transfer portal to some degree and go maybe try and get somebody with some experience. I would love to see somebody come in who's a little bit of an enforcer. I don't want somebody dirty like the Plavich guy for Tennessee who just knocks people to the floor for no reason, like in the handshake line. But I want to see somebody that the team can sort of get behind, like that's our bully. You know, I don't want him playing dirty, but I want him playing strong. And I wouldn't mind having a dude like that, even if he's not the best shooter in the world. San Diego State had a couple of them. We can use one. So
I think if the primary inside guys next year end up being, if the primary guys that play the most minutes inside are Pringle and Bediako, you know, I wouldn't say that it's going to live up to what you just said you would like to see, but I think it'd be close. I think that would be a physical tandem next season. Pretty physical. The most physical, probably not. Pretty physical, definitely.
They're not mean enough, though. And again, I'm not meaning this as a criticism at them. I'm just saying what they are. Sort of like JQ isn't strong enough to take it to the rack against San Diego State the way he wanted to, and that kept being proven over and over again. Mark Sears is, but Mark Sears probably didn't have the handles to get into that position that JQ did, so we needed a combination of them. But Nick, here's the thing about Pringle and Bediako to me. I think Bediako is intimidating in the sense that he will alter your shots. He is not intimidating. Like if you saw him on the street, you're like, oh, I'm immediately scared of that dude. You probably think, oh, he's pretty skinny. Nick Pringle attacks the rim as if he wants to rip the backboard apart. But he's such a sort of a funny, you know, he's kind of charismatic. He's always smiling. You know, he's sort of a laughy guy. Instead, I need somebody who takes offense to very small things. Like I want another – a guy from the other team to go, hey, good game. He's going to go, what'd you say? Great game. That's what I want him to do.
Well, we could just find a guy that does that. I don't know if he'd be good at basketball.
not even on the court. He just walks around in like a jersey that's not even an Alabama jersey. It's like a Brooklyn Nets jersey. He's like on the floor going, I wish you would say something. I'll come out there when it's perfectly legal.
Maybe Nate Oates can go to mugshots.com and look for somebody who's just mean. Five-star mean.
That's pretty good. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's podcast. Look, we're wrapping basketball up, guys, and I hate it, but it was a great year. It was a good run. And, yeah, I hate the way it ended, but overall I think you have to take a bird's eye view of this thing and be happy. So we'll be back with more football tomorrow. Until then, roll tide, everybody.
Roll tide.